You can also pray for us as you turn there, and I will say this, if you come on a gospel days, we'll send you into the good part of town, okay? No worries about that. And, you know, we're just about less than a mile from Georgia State University, 50,000 plus students there. And also, we're just about a mile from Georgia Tech, and we all know they need the Lord, amen? Good, I just had to get that in, so it's good to be a Dogs fan right now. But Matthew chapter 9, as we go to Matthew chapter 9, the Lord has had a long day of service and a long day. I know you have too, so I'm aware of the time. But the Lord's had a long day of service. He's been working. He's been going after people. He's been healing people. He's been teaching. He's been preaching. And then we come to Matthew chapter 9. We'll begin reading at the end of the chapter in verse number 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. The Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I'd like to take for the theme of the message this evening from the verse 36, the first part there. When he saw the multitudes. When he saw the multitudes. You know, I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ standing here in this place, and he has been working with people, and he's been healing people, and it's been a very long day. But he looks on the multitudes again, and I want you to think, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one, first of all, consider this, the compassion of the Savior. The compassion of the Savior. When he saw the multitudes, think about the city, will you? Think about Athens. Think about the city of Atlanta. When you look out over the city, what do you see? Honestly, you see the vices of a city gripped by sin, sadly. You see what sin leaves. You see what sin brings into a life and how it really eats people up and it spits them out and leaves them to the side. You find here when you see the multitudes, the Lord Jesus Christ saw them. He was moved with what? Compassion. Now, when we see the multitudes, we can be moved with a lot of different kind of emotions. We may be moved with an emotion of fear. When we see the multitudes, we may be moved with an emotion of disgust even. But when the Lord Jesus Christ saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. I believe this is the kind of compassion, as David Livingston said, David Livingston, the great missionary and explorer in Africa, he said, "Sympathy is no excuse for action." Now, we can feel sorry for people, or we can feel bad about their plight, but it does not negate what God has given us to do in reaching those people. We find here, it says, if you mark this, when he saw, then connect it with this phrase, he was moved. This is not just being moved with compassion and feeling bad about people, but it moved him to action. We find the compassion of the Savior is always linked with doing something. If we're not careful, you and I will be the kind of people that like to talk about maybe what once was done or talk about what is being done in other places. It's like in Psalm 107, verse 23, it says, "Those that go down into the sea in ships and do business in great waters." We can talk about all the others that go down in ships and all the others that are doing great work. But if we're doing God's work, we're involved in great work. Amen?
Yeah.
And if the Crooked Creek Baptist Church is doing God's work, it's involved in great work. What we find here, when Jesus Christ looks at the multitudes, He is moved with compassion. I want to read you a quote. "Misery is the object of mercy, and the miseries of sinful, self-destroying souls are the greatest miseries." This is what Matthew Henry said. I want you to think about this. The miseries of sinful, self-destroying souls are the greatest miseries. Have you ever seen a miserable, self-destroying soul, someone who's destroying their own life? Maybe they don't even realize it. Maybe they don't even know what they're doing is causing their greatest harm. He says this, "Christ pities those that Christ pities those that do not pity themselves." You've seen pity that are, people that are destroying themselves, and they have no pity for themselves. They don't want to change. They want to do anything differently. In fact, around the area where we are, the Atlanta Mission is not far from the church building we're renting, so we have a number of homeless people that are around in the neighborhood where we're at. I mean, I can take you to the places where, right now, the bus stops where they sleep at night. I can show them to you. I know where they are. And can I tell you this? They're a very unlovely people. They're unlovely because of the misery that many times they put them on their own selves into. I realize that. I was just talking with a homeless man the other day. His name was Scott. He's trying to witness to Scott. I told Scott, I said, Scott, you wait around. I'm cleaning here at the church. If you wait around, I'll take you and get you a hot meal. You know what Scott said? I'm a diabetic. I only eat salads and drink apple juice. I said, Scott, you're living on the street. You're only eating salads and drinking apple juice? I said, well, you wait around here. I'll take and get you a meal. He said, no, I just want money. I said, no, I'll take and get you a meal. I'm not going to give you money. He said, no, it's because of people like you, I've gone without food. I said, Scott, people offering you a hot meal is the reason you've gone without food? And he walked off. He wouldn't take it from me. Can I tell you this? I know what that does in my own spirit. They are unlovely people. You know why they're unlovely people? Because they don't have a home? No. You know why they're unlovely people? Because they sleep outside? No. You know why they're unlovely people? Because they're sinners. And you know what I have to remind myself? There was a day when I was a sinner. And you know, there was a day when you were a sinner and you were an unlovely person. Now, maybe you were a person with a home, but you were an unlovely person. And the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on us. And there was a time where He sent someone to give you the gospel. Maybe you were a child and it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you were an adult and it was someone with a gospel tract. But there was a time when you would have looked at us and there was not much you would have found worthwhile. But the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on us. The Lord Jesus Christ had mercy on us and He saved our souls. Amen. But we find when the Lord Jesus Christ looks at the multitude, He's moved. And the emotion that moves Him is compassion. When He saw, He was moved. You know what it takes? It really just takes getting out into the multitudes. It really just takes getting out. And one reason I want our people to be out on the Beltline and be around families and rubbing elbows with people is because you've got to get out into the multitudes if you're going to reach the multitudes. Yes. If we're not careful, we've allowed the events of the last year, year and a half to really right. cause us just to close ourselves in. Right. Really just to decide all I'm going to do is going to point this direction, in toward me. That's right. And I can be the same way. I've got to turn things outward. I've got to turn things toward the multitudes. I've got to turn things out on someone else and not just on myself. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ saw the multitudes, He was moved. So this is the compassion of the Savior. If you look with me quickly, we'll keep moving. We find there's a concern for the harvest. The end of verse 36 says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. It says these people fainted. Now, literally, they were going without food to follow Jesus out into the wilderness, but they were also going without spiritual food. They needed a spiritual nourishment they were not finding in the world without the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, you find them. They're in your neighborhood. They're at your workplace. They go to your school. And they do not have any spiritual nourishment. They're fainting spiritually because they do not have the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, it says they fainted and they were scattered abroad. Why were these scattered abroad? It says they were like sheep. Why? If you find sheep and they're scattered across the countryside, what does that mean? They have no shepherd. They have no one to guide them. They have no one to direct them. They have no one to protect them. They have no one to show them where the nourishment is. They are as sheep having no shepherd. Will you hold your place here and go with me to the shepherd's psalm, Psalm 23. A precious psalm. Many people take these verses as their life verse. And in Psalm 23, we find precious, tender truths. I love Psalm 23. We find this verse in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But right now, as you read Psalm 23, and you think about your shepherd, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the great shepherd. Amen? I want you to think about those that do not have a shepherd. I want you to think about the multitudes that do not have the great shepherd. They do not have one who is guiding them and protecting them and bringing them provision. Verse number 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But there are those that do want because they do not have a shepherd. It says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. But if you do not have a shepherd, there's no one to bring you to the green pastures, and there's no one to have you lay down beside the still waters. That's why they faint, and that's why they are scattered. He restoreth my soul. But if you do not have the great shepherd, there is no restoring of the soul. There is only hate and bitterness, all of that in your soul. There's no hope. You remember what it was like when there was no hope in this world? When you were without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what Ephesians 2 says. Without God in this world. We find here, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Well, if you're not in the paths of righteousness, then what are you walking in? You're walking in the paths of unrighteousness. You say, why do people live the way they do? Why do people make the decisions they make? Because they do not have the great shepherd to help them make the right decisions. They're making the best decision they can without God. And you know what the answer is? The answer is a local Baptist church preaching the gospel and going after them and showing them the truth. That is the answer. Amen. We find here it says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Realize we're walking in a world today where death is in the headlines every day. And we can fear no evil. But if we do not have the great shepherd, they fear death at every pass. They see it looming around every corner. They do not have hope. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because we have the great shepherd. What about those who will not dwell in the house of the Lord forever? What about the multitudes without the great shepherd? There is a concern for the harvest here that the Lord Jesus Christ has. Because they do not have a shepherd. Will you go down with me and look at verse 37, please? I know we're moving quickly. Verse 37 of Matthew chapter 9, we find it says, Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now, consider this. If you're a farmer, and you go out, and you've got a great harvest, is that good news or bad news? That's good news. That is great news. And you know what? The fields were white unto harvest 2,000 years ago, and they're still white unto harvest today. You say, well, you know, people just aren't listening the way they used to. Well, you know, people just won't take time the way they used to. Look, the fields are white unto harvest. We just got to get out into the harvest fields. Amen. But it does say the laborers are few. You know what? There was a labor shortage. You know what we're dealing with today? We're dealing with a labor shortage. We're dealing with a spiritual labor shortage. And you go down, you find a restaurant. Probably the dining room's not open because they don't have enough people to work the dining room. But let me tell you this. Even though there's a labor shortage, it never holds us back from fulfilling our labor that we've been given. It never keeps us, it never negates our responsibility for two things, passion and personal responsibility. If I am working at that restaurant, that doesn't mean just because there's a few laborers, I can treat people like dirt. I mean, I might go to McDonald's, they might have two people working there. If I order a hamburger, I expect it to be hot, and I'm hoping somebody smiles at me while I'm there. Why? Because even though there's a labor shortage, if we're a laborer, we still must have passion and we still have personal responsibility. We still must get into the harvest fields. But there's a final thing here. What's the answer? What is the answer? You say, Brother McElreath, you paint a pretty dim picture here. Harvest fields and no laborers. People without a shepherd fainting. Here's the answer. What are the first two words of verse number 38? Pray ye. You know what Jesus Christ is saying? I've got a prayer request. Now, if anyone in this church stood up tonight and said, Pastor, I've got a prayer request. Will you pray for this? We would all take note. We'd write it down and we'd pray for it. But imagine if Jesus Christ stood up in this meeting tonight and said, I have a prayer request. We would certainly take note. And we would certainly make sure that prayer request was at the top of our list. Well, Jesus Christ says in Matthew 9:38, I have a prayer request. He says, Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. What's the answer to the multitudes? What is the answer for those who are fainting and scattered abroad? What is the answer to the few laborers? It is praying to the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers into His harvest. More laborers into Jackson County. More laborers into Athens. More laborers into Atlanta. More laborers for the Crooked Creek Baptist Church. More laborers for the City Baptist Church. That God would raise up laborers there. And God would send more laborers to the front lines. Here and beyond. This is the only hope. Is praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers in His harvest. By the way, it says the Lord of the harvest, and it says His harvest. You know what that means? It's not my harvest. It's not your harvest. It's not this pastor's harvest. It's God's harvest. And there was no one more interested in seeing that harvest harvested than the Lord of the harvest. Amen. You say, oh, I'm very interested. I'm sure you are. Well, God's more interested than you are. And He's more willing to send laborers than you are. He is waiting and He is ready for someone to say, I'll be a laborer. I will go. You say, well, Brother Mark, I can't go into Atlanta. You can go into Athens. I can't go into Atlanta. Well, there's a place here you can be a laborer. I guarantee you this pastor has some places you can labor. So what's the answer? What's the answer for the compassion of the Savior, for the concern of the harvest? It is the call for laborers. This is the answer. I want to read you one quote. I'll leave you with this. There's a man by the name of William Carey, and he launched the modern missionary movement about 250 years ago or so. And he said this in a document he wrote called An Inquiry. He said this, speaking of reaching the unreached particularly, but mainly reaching the lost. He says, as to their uncivilized and barbarous way of living, this can be no objection to any. It is no objection to commercial men. It only requires that we should have as much love for our fellow creatures and fellow sinners as they have for the profits arising from a few otter skins, and all their difficulties would be easily surmounted. What is he saying? He's saying people are leaving the British Isles, they're going to the New World, and they're dealing with storms, and they're dealing with the ocean, and they're dealing with savages, and they're dealing with the heat, and they're dealing with wild animals, all to what? Bring in a few otter skins that they can bring back and sell for a mere profit. Could we not overcome a few of those things for the cause of Christ? Could we not overcome a few inconveniences to reach the lost? Could we not overcome a few of these things? Heat, the ocean, the tide, distance, cultural differences to reach the multitudes? I believe we could. And I believe if the Lord Jesus Christ touched our hearts with the same compassion that was in His, we would be moved. And we'd be moved to reach the lost. Because He's calling for laborers. And I believe all of us should be enlisted.
Jake, you close us in prayer.